Welcome to Real Flix Reviews, or like a book club for people who hate reading. This month we're doing horror, so Ryan picked the movie Let the Right One In, made in 2008. And we bring you movie news. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Hello. Stevens, and Rob Charney.
Bill Geisen.
So here's the description of this movie, and apparently it was made in Sweden. Oscar. It says, Oscar, an overlooked and bullied boy, finds love and revenge through Ellie, a beautiful but particular girl. Peculiar girl.
Peculiar.
Close enough.
This is what happens when you hate reading.
I don't hate reading. I just hate books. Kidding. I gotta say, the first thing I noticed about this movie, honestly, was the visuals.
Yeah.
This movie is a very visually striking movie.
Yeah. I wanted to say I was actually impressed by that description that they had there. A very succinct but accurate description.
I think this is the first or second time we've run into
that. Yeah, it's not very often. Good job, whoever that user was.
Well, then they managed to do it in one sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Three commas.
Well, yeah, that, you know, that's still a sentence.
Kind of.
It is.
But I loved the visuals on this were amazing. The stark contrast on everything.
Yeah, I liked how when they went dark, it was dark.
Oh, yeah.
It was very, very dark and... was it me or was it did the daytime seem a little like overcast throughout the film?
And I think it had a lot to do with it. It felt like it was in their winter time.
Yeah,
of course, which would make it.
Well, there's like tons of snow everywhere.
Yeah. Well, you don't know how much they usually get because it wasn't like it was piled up to the windows, but it was, you know, and the pond wasn't completely frozen,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah.
So maybe it wasn't completely in the winter.
Now, I got one thing to point out to you guys, and it was one of the things I was wanting to bring up. This was a film that, as Ryan said, not the American version, but the actual European or overseas version. Now... the issue was, because this happened multiple films at this time, around this time when these films were being released, there was The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, there was Old Boy, and this film was one of the ones that made it, and America decided to change it a little bit. Did this film seem like it wasn't made for American audiences? This
oh, is really definitely. One point.
Oh. Well, I
definitely
the
don't.
Way they did it.
Yeah.
And part of it, I think, and I don't. I'll be honest. I don't watch a whole lot of movies from where this is from, but the pacing is definitely not like an American movie,
yeah.
Unless you go very art house, maybe indie, where this one was slow and it wasn't. Most American movies are like bang, 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 bang. This movie was bang.
It was very,
bang.
Yeah, very slow.
But
very
what slow I wanted to point out was, yeah, it was slow, but there were times where, it intrigued me enough. On the way that they told the story is because what they wanted to portray, as far as what I got out of it, is that Oscar, because I'm not going to try to butcher his name, the kid who played Oscar... he was portraying this downtrodden, underfoot kid.
Yeah. Yeah. No, totally.
And would you guys walk out outside if you were downtrodden and that little kid in your tidy whiteys in the snow?
Yeah.
And a jacket?
See, the part...
No.
The one thing that kind of... I wanted to see what you guys thought was his lack of parents. I mean, his parents were there, but his mother must have worked full time or was only in
she
a couple
was a,
episodes.
Like an only
there.
Parent.
There was no father.
Yeah, there was no father.
Well, but see, I thought he went to his father's place when he went up to the snow where there was that snow bike.
Yeah, there was something
was
there. I don't
thought.
Know what it was. Though.
Okay,
but
can't,
as
yeah,
far as
right.
I knew,
it felt like there was no father in the picture anyway.
His mom was it, and he
Even
really didn't have a.
Much.
Anyone in charge of him.
Right.
Yeah.
Really.
Because he went around sticking poor innocent trees with knives.
Yeah, I mean, his acting out was a little bit like, you're going to be a serial killer, dude.
Well, yeah, it did feel like he was going to have some issues. There's no doubt about it.
This actually goes straight into our main character, you know, that is she... She you know, really introduced Ellie like a very kind of flash in the pan. I mean, not, you know, physically, just in one scene and then out the next.
Yeah.
And that to me was intriguing because the first scene did not explain anything, which most vampire movies, like off the bat, you know it is.
Yeah, they don't treat you like you're a 5-year-old child that needs everything explained to you in this film.
that was one of my favorite parts, because, you know, reading the description, I knew what she was, but it was like, this is impressive. They don't lead it. They yeah. make you kind of figure it out.
I have a little bit of a disconnect with this movie, because I was trying to figure out, she's supposed to be a vampire.
Yes.
And according to the information, she's supposedly like 200 years old.
Or 300, yeah.
Who was the man that was getting the blood for her?
This is, yeah. I have a theory about this.
I want to hear John's theory, because I have one as well.
My theory is he was like Oscar.
Yes. That's what my take on this was.
Meaning?
You go.
Well, okay. My understanding of this film, and I've seen this film multiple times, is that she befriended the old man like she did Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
And through the relationship, he fell in love with her to the point that he would do anything for her, and she needed blood and needed sustenance, so he went out and got that blood and sustenance. That's the man.
Okay, so...
And Oscar is going to be taking that role after...
After a while.
Yeah, after a while. That's kind of was my take, and that's how she survived for this long.
So she finds somebody close to her physical age, and ages, although she never ages... The companion ages, and then now he's in charge of finding blood for her.
Yeah. Because I was... Okay. Because as soon as... The one scene, I guess, was a key, was when he died. It was like the old guy that was killing people. It's like when she died, he died. It's like, okay, now I get this is what Oscar's going to do. I was kind of hoping it was going to go in a different direction. That was like... Because I think that would be really cool, because it's supposedly a love story, according to IMDb, and it's not really a love story. It's more like he's being used.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but used willingly, and I think he seemed like a type of kid who wasn't dumb. Yeah. So I'm sure he would know what was going on and that he was going to be taking up this mantle, if you want to call it that, of his experience.
Yeah, I was a little foggy on that whole thing, but...
But now I want to get to my favorite scene of the movie, right. when he's in the pool scene.
Right. Oh, this right. is towards the end?
Yeah. The way they portrayed that, and the way that they did the filming and the cinematography of cutting kind of the way they did, and I use that term
body
properly.
Body parts.
Yeah, body parts coming in.
Yeah.
That was just really cool, and you kind of find yourself cheering.
Yeah.
Or at least I did.
I was hoping more we could see what it was.
Yeah,
doing.
That's what I was a little bummed out.
I wanted to see it.
I thought they kind of highlighted kind of what she, her powers or strength or whatever, when you saw these legs, you know, flying past them. It's like, how was she doing that?
Yeah, yeah.
Talking about that, I kind of wanted to talk about the lore they use in this movie. Because they use lore that at least... the last 10, maybe 20 years, is not 100% traditional. Like she has to be invited into the home.
Right.
The last time I remember that was the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie.
Yeah. That's been used.
Really? Well, which one?
Before.
Like, it's been used before, but it's not traditional or common.
Pretty much all the way through True Blood.
Well, I haven't seen True Blood, you know, so.
It's been used recently.
Yeah, but it's not common, though, I would say. Traditionally.
None of the Stoker versions.
No,
of anything.
The Bram Stoker's never had that.
Never had that.
And I don't think either did Interview with a Vampire, either.
No, I don't remember.
I don't think so. I don't think
it was. I'm pretty certain there wasn't that in the interview, and I don't think there was in Blade either, any of the Blades.
No, see, I was actually going to say that. She can't stand sunlight, unlike Blade or the Twilight movies. She doesn't sparkle.
Blade
was a daywalker.
Yeah. So Blade, he had his things going on. But.
And the other thing I thought was interesting was cats didn't like her. She was like the mummy from the Money Movie.
And that's not something that was...
That was new to me.
No, that's not really new. It's
No, what I remember
oh,
in other
to you.
Movies... Yeah,
okay.
To me,
sorry.
What I remember in other movies where cats would react, but they'd run away, not attack.
Yeah.
It was a different... I thought it was a different take on it.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing is because when we get into films that are... that cross borders or outside of the U.S., we get into some interesting lore, and we experienced that with Rare Exports as one that had some interesting takes on some Americanized viewpoints. So this one also has some of those things, and I actually enjoy those. They're nice little things that you're like, huh, That's a not different something take. I'm accustomed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I like the kind of twists, the lore that I'm not, the versions of it I'm not used to. Like the cats thing was, to me, it was one of the stranger ones because I don't think I've seen like that type of reaction.
Where a cat is
attacking a vampire.
I don't remember a movie that used a cat scene at that long a length.
Yeah.
In how the cats were reacting.
In my notes, the only movie that I can think of that has a scene kind of resembling that was in the Mummy movie with Brendan Fraser, where cats were like the guardian of hell or something like that. And he didn't like cats.
And I would say, you know, most of the things that we encounter with vampires is there is some creature that is hostile towards them.
Mm-hmm.
Like Rob said, most of the time they choose to back away or get out of the situation
rather than
being like, I'm just going to jack you up.
Yeah, and most of the time
cats act
like they're the master. You know, the vampire's the master.
Yeah.
We could take that in a couple different ways. It could just be that cat's personality.
The other part of the lore was becoming a vampire on bite, like some of the more in-depth one where they have to get blood back.
Yeah.
Or they become a thrall or a zombie or something.
None of her victims that she actually bit. Oh, but the lady, lady, right?
She broke the neck of all of her victims, like before they could change.
Yeah.
That lady was the only one she couldn't do it because she was discovered before it was too late.
Yeah. So there was that one was an interesting one. And because, like you said, that is something that we've transitioned out of as far as America goes, mm-hmm. because that was the predominant lore
mm-hmm.
beforehand. And I think Interview was the one that really changed that one. I think Interview was the one that, if I remember right, it was the one that was where you had to partake in the the actual vampire's blood. Mm-hmm. So that would be Rice?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and also, excuse me. And the latest vampire Dracula movie was the same way. You actually had to take in the blood, swallow the blood, in order to become a vampire.
Yeah. So
that's the latest one that came out a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I haven't seen it recently. I haven't seen it yet. But also, anyway, yeah. So that's something that was interesting as well. But as far as the kids acting go, they did a amazing job, as far as I could tell.
Which kid? Because I thought the girl Ellie did a good job. The boy, I wouldn't say it was not a good job, but it definitely wasn't. I mean, it wasn't. I would say it wasn't a great job, but I also would say it's not a bad job. It seemed kind of fair to Midland.
What do you think that didn't match up? Because the character he's trying to portray is, you know, just a 12-year-old kid who does not fit in and is picked on all the time.
Well, that's it. I mean, how hard would that be to act?
Well, if you're not accustomed to that, it could be very hard.
I guess I'll give you that.
Because, I mean, the kid, I'll have to look up.
You know, his personality may have been very similar. Very
he was
quiet.
Actually 12.
Yeah, he may have been very quiet anyway and shy little guy. And They took advantage of those characteristics in him and had him portrayed kind of awkward like he was.
Yeah.
You know. And
I think the only time that I can think of where he overplayed the role was when he was sitting outside right after he met Ellie. He was sitting out there and he was kind of just not really. It was like he was throwing a little fit.
Mm.
And I don't think he played that properly.
Was that before the Rubik's Cube scene?
I think so, yeah. But that was the only time that I would say that I thought his acting wasn't what it should have been. Because, like I said, it's a hard, difficult role to play because everybody is going to interpret it differently.
No, true. And
especially at 12, because both these kids were...
kids.
I say kids. They're 19 now, but they both were that age that they were portraying, 12, 13.
And being that age in front of a camera is not easy. The one thing I would say doing some research about this movie, it was originally apparently a book, and Ellie apparently was actually a boy in the book who was castrated.
Oh, jeez.
According to what I read. And so
it
apparently
was a choir boy.
Yeah, pretty much. They say that's the reason why in the book he was described as a boy with a high voice.
Oh, my goodness. poor guy.
Which I thought
was vampire and castrated for all that.
Yeah.
Time. Oh. And I thought that was an interesting way to to keep parts of the book, you know, as far as the high pitched voice, you know, a few things, and I thought it was an interesting change.
And I mean, it was a girl, but she's 12 at that time, so yeah. Other than the private area, you're not going to know that she wasn't a boy.
Yeah. Which I thought was kind of a clever, like.
Yeah. Well, remember she answered, you know, that she wasn't a girl.
Yeah, but she wasn't. But at that point, she wasn't saying she wasn't a boy either. She was saying she wasn't really human. Was kind of. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Now, with what James said, it makes me look back at it and go, "Well, wait a minute."
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I'm kind of questioning
maybe it wasn't really a girl.
That one point where she disrobed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of took it more as I'm not human.
Well, I did too.
I did too the first time, but
James said what he said.
Well, I didn't know that information about the book. I knew it was a book. I just didn't read the book.
Yeah.
So, that's interesting. That is an interesting take on it. I wouldn't have thought about that without knowing it and reading the book.
And I read that in a couple of different areas, and I'm assuming it's correct. So I haven't actually read the book. So
Yeah. None of us have, but it's now we have two looks at the same movie, just changing the gender.
Because like I said, I mean, if you really think about it, they probably cast her as a girl because, you know, at that puberty stage,
it makes
right
more
there,
sense.
It's easier to go with a girl with a high pitched voice than finding a boy who isn't voice cracking and changing.
Right.
And I also think it, movie wise, I think it played better to most audiences having a girl than boy.
Yeah, that would probably not go over very well with part of the American audience having that.
I wouldn't know in the European audience. And you said there's an American version of this.
There is
it
an
called
American
the same
version.
Thing?
Yeah, it is.
Because I've never actually seen the American one.
It's something similar. I can't remember the exact title, but it wasn't the exact same.
Oh, was it Let Me In?
Yeah, I think that was probably it. Yes,
so
Let Me In.
It was funny. The funniest thing about this, if you look on IMDb, it says movies more like this. And the first one is Let Me In, but then it goes to The Orphanage, Rosemary's Babies, Wreck, Record, The Descendants, The Others. They're not even close to like this movie.
No, Let Me In is the American version. That's what it was. I know the title changed a little bit, but I was not interested in seeing it because I liked this one. I didn't need to see an American version that was. It's like the remake of The Shining. I like the original one, the one that was made after that in like, the early 90s was just garbage comparison. So I like doing that.
Hit Girl is in this movie, on the in the American version.
Yeah, I knew that.
See, that was, that's interesting, but yeah.
It was 2 years after this one was released. So anyways, let's get down to the ratings. What do you guys think of this one? I'm curious.
I have a feeling I'm going to give it a better rating than the old guy, so.
Over, you never know.
I would be shocked, I'll be completely honest.
I was shocked last week.
I'm going to keep shocking you guys.
I'll give this movie a 3 to 5. It was a little slow in parts for me. But overall, there was stuff that was interesting. It was the stark contrast to, American movies, which I really love the difference. And the fact that people really matched the atmosphere. Everybody was kind of cold. And
yeah.
Overall, I liked it. So 3 out of 5. I don't know if I'll watch it again, but 3 out of 5. Rob?
Going to leave it up to me. You don't want to leave me last?
Yes. I
want to leave you last. I know.
Leave me last. Go ahead.
Okay. James. Now, I want to say something to the audience out there. When we pick horror flicks, we're not looking for jump-out, scare-me flicks. We're looking
or torture
for
porn.
Good stories that have a little bit of a twist that can be from, I guess you would say, the darker side of things like vampires, werewolves, ghosts, things like that
witches.
Fall into the horror category that are not just scare-me-to-death movies. And as far as for me, this one, I like the story. I like the take of the vampires. I think the acting for the age group that they picked was, stellar for the age group because they have some difficult roles to pull off. And I give it a 4. I think this one surprised me when I first came across it.
So, Rob, I'm really dying to know
I'm going to go on the opposite way of the way James went with it. To be honest with you, I think that the script itself in the storyline, although to a certain degree it was okay, I really think it was very weak. I think some of the scenes themselves were, because of he was so quiet in the quiet scenes, it lost my attention very easily. The soundtrack was virtually non-existent.
I don't even remember much music.
That's exactly right.
I was just going to ask you.
There was none, as far as I can. I remember all that.
I was thinking there might have been some on the clock at some point.
and just some of the acting itself. As example of one, the boy that got his ear smacked by him, and his older brother comes to this pool, and there's this community pool with absolutely no supervision, and this older brother comes storming in, telling everybody to leave. I had a little problem with that too. I mean, this is the whole idea that they would have a pool with children that young and not some supervision, and an older brother.
Now he's coming to kill this kid.
Yeah, and now we got a psycho older brother added into this mix here, because obviously he wants to use a knife and he wants to cut the kid up. He must be psycho, so he's got a problem too, which is thrown in the mix. So I'm going, wait a minute. The plot didn't work for me. So with that said. Even though there were some great scenes, I will say there were a couple scenes in it I thought that were excellent. I'm only going to give this one a 2.
I'll be honest, that's higher than I thought you were going to give it.
Yeah, because I know you are not into the European flicks at all, and that's kind of the way they pace their films, is what I've come across. If we get over into the Asian type of genre, they're more fast-paced, but when we get into the European flicks, Norwegian, Scandinavian, Swedish, I'll take that back. I was going to lump French in with them too, but most of the French action flicks are pretty sped up. But that's really what I found is when I'm watching those, even the TV of their area, it's slower stories. They want to draw it out and get you to, they want you to try to fall in love with the characters. I
have to say though, it is really nice occasionally to get a movie that's not so boom, 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 that gives you a little bit of time to digest everything. For me, this movie was a little slow. Like if it went a little faster, or it was, wasn't 117 minutes, I think it'd be better. But overall, I liked it.
I did not critique the pace, although I thought the pace was slow. I did not critique that. I understood that part.
Well, I thought you did say that it lost you at parts with the slowness.
But there were scenes that lost me. That just didn't make sense in the story itself. But, the pacing, yeah, some of it was slow, but that wasn't the critique. I can take slow pacing. But in this case, I just thought there were too many problems with the movie.
If the audience out there really wants to know what I think is a twisted horror flick, go watch a Serbian film. And for those of you that don't think you could take it, don't watch it.
What's it called?
A Serbian film.
Okay.
Don't watch
just,
that
just want to make sure. And then with that, we're going to switch off the House of Cards, and that's James.
So I don't know why he keeps throwing me in on this one.
Because I
still have not
chapter
fallen.
Five.
It is chapter 5. I still have not fallen in love with this
right
flick.
Right under the bus.
But I did say to Jen 2 episodes ago, my wife, I predicted how the story is going to play out in this film, and it's following along with what my prediction was. The guy, is he a senator?
Yeah.
Congressman.
He's a congressman.
Congressman. Guy that did the drugs, Paul, something Paul.
I don't
Anyways,
keep track of the names.
He got himself in more trouble. And I got to say, I did enjoy Kevin Spacey just turning that little thing and saying, come with me. Puts him in the bath, gives him aspirin, hands him a razor blade and said, if you can't keep it up, do it right. Yeah. Don't mess around. Do it
right. Cut it the long way.
Yeah, cut it the long way.
Not an amateur way.
Yeah. I thought that was a well-played scene for this one because that's the mentality of that guy.
Well, I found, what I like about it is some of the unique ideas that he comes up with. His ability to manipulate people in a manipulative situation. His wife's, in this case, she had a fundraiser that the unions were stopping.
I thought that was
pretty cool. Okay, he said, fine, we'll do it out in front of the hotel. I mean, he came up with, he knew how to raise money.
That was his wife, actually.
It's a very political.
No, okay. She asked him to do it. She told him to get the ball rolling. You know people, you do it. And he turned the phone calls on. And
he did it.
He just did it.
Yeah, and so were you a fan of the West Wing?
No, I haven't watched that one.
So
I haven't watched any episodes.
I do like this kind of political intrigue, manipulation, the way things are probably closer to what really goes on in government. Sorry to say, but I think there's some insider type things in these storylines, and I just love the character with Kevin Spacey, and I love the first person where he's looking at the camera, talking, describing, and then it'll roll right into the scene, and so for me I enjoy it.
I find it interesting that even his marriage is not really a marriage. It's more
it's a business.
It's
arrangement.
A means
it's a business
to
arrangement.
End.
Yeah, I think James is right. Yeah.
It seems like a business arrangement, but I like the fact that she is doing her best to stay faithful to it.
How many seasons did this go? You guys are
there's five.
There's five. So
no,
we're
I think there's
on
two.
Netflix. I came across like five.
I know there's at least three because I saw one that said three.
Yeah,
we'll
I think there's like some like that. It's
but,
quite a bit.
But, well,
the reason I ask is because I'm wondering how as we continue to go down this road with this series, how it matures. That's what I want to see.
Oh, four. I'm wrong. Sorry.
Four seasons. Okay.
Well,
I knew it was more than three.
Yeah. Okay.
I do know a little bit just because, you can't avoid hearing people talk about it. Like,
I missed it. Somehow I
avoided it.
Yeah,
everybody
I missed it too. I don't know why.
We're going to switch off.
We're
going to
watch chapter six too.
Yeah, we're going to watch chapter six for movie news. I'm just going to let you know, everybody, we do have a Facebook page. You love us, hate us. We might read you on air. How about donating a little cash to Old Guy Tech TV to keep the lights on? You know,
whatever
it is. Pay me enough to help me to actually say this correctly. And we're going to movie news, and I think James has some.
So, do you guys remember a little while ago I came up with a two-film thing that we watched? I'm trying to actually pull it up.
Excuse me.
It was like Neverland, I believe it was the name of it.
The one about Peter Pan and kind of how we got there.
Finding like the same one. Yeah, it was that one. I can't remember the name of it.
With Bob
it
Hoskins
Neverland.
Playing Shmi again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been an easier way to look at it. Just pull up Bob Hoskins. Duh.
Rest in
Anyways,
peace.
The film that's being released, what month are we? April?
Maybe, oh,
like
yeah.
Like 2 months.
Yeah.
It got really, beaten down, I guess, on their early release.
Really? That's
the one with Hugh Jackman, Levi Miller, Jimmy V, those guys. You know, and this is a precursor type thing of the Pan lore. But I was reading it, and that kind of really bums me out because I liked what they did with the Neverland thing, that two-part thing that Sci-Fi did a little while back. Were you part for that one?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
It was pre-me.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know if you were filling in or something.
Not
for
that time.
But I actually enjoyed that one, and I was really hoping that this one would be similar to that because the things I saw on it were pretty similar to it. But from what I understand, it got kind of chopped down.
Was it the acting that got, do you know, or is
it
the story itself?
It's just
itself,
a rough
or?
Takeoff is what everybody's saying. And it's
tied into Finding Neverland
as well.
I'm really curious in, what take it is. Is it closer to Peter Pan being a butcherer, like you hear people talk about in the story?
I don't think it's a dark one. I think this is Peter Pan as a young kid. And if I'm looking at what I see, I believe that Hugh Jackman is going to be like the Captain Hook character. Young Captain Hook hasn't quite got his chops yet.
He's
going
to be hard to be a young Captain Hook. Jackman,
That's a bummer.
He's getting old. He's
in his 40s now.
Is he in his
40s? Yeah, I think so.
I'd love
46,
to see,
you're right.
Yeah.
I'd love to see a more brutal Peter Pan, because there's you hear stories or people talking about he kills lost boys once they get older.
The one that came out with the Peter Pan lore, I'm trying to remember, is that show Once Upon a Time.
Yeah,
Jen was into that. And we were watching it for a while, and their version of Peter Pan was like that. He was a bad kid.
He was a murderer.
And Captain Hook was actually not so bad of a guy. He wasn't a very upstanding guy. But he was trying to help people against this evil Peter Pan character.
With 2 months to go prior to launch, this movie can completely change.
It really
can.
It can.
I mean, so who knows? Maybe the idea was, let's do a pre-launch and see what they think of this version, and all of a sudden, okay, we're going to switch up.
But I've been a real big fan of Hugh Jackman's career. I really have. Oh, I've liked what he's come out with.
The man's so damn talented, it's ridiculous. I mean, he does everything. Sings, dance, acts. I mean, he does everything.
Yeah, he has a really, really great arsenal of things that he can pull out.
I mean, he's been on Broadway. He's been doing Broadway for a long time.
And another guy that I'm going to bring up who I was not a fan of for a long time until I saw Beautiful Mind is Russell Crowe's new movie is coming up. I had the release date. Is it already out?
What is it?
Oh, the 2014. Yeah. The Water Diviner.
I haven't even heard of this.
You guys haven't heard of this one? Uh-huh. I heard about this one. And
it's Russell Crowe?
Yeah, it's Russell Crowe as well.
I sure have a mixed feeling on Russell
Crowe. Oh, it was released on Christmas. That's right. Okay. I knew it was recently that it came out.
What was the IMDb rating out of
curiosity? The IMDb rating of this one is 7.4.
Well, then it might be worth seeing.
But what he was saying is now that he's a dad, he's been it was a really tough for him to get this script out.
Mm.
Because what the story is, he's an Australian man in Turkey after the Battle of Gallipoli, and he's looking for his three sons who are missing, who are part of it. And it sounds like it could be a very interesting story.
Yeah. Now that you mentioned
it. It snuck underneath my radar of being released, but there was so many movies I was trying to keep my eye on during Christmas.
You know, it's really too bad that there isn't some movie mogul out there that can't just stumble across RFR. Let us see a few pre-release movies and let us go.
I would love to see some of these. We would
be really happy to do something like that. And then what I really like is that the guys that go out there that the Do Watcher show, about the only thing you can do is get some kind of stupid critique instead of just being real about stuff. So, this is the internet. Yeah, so, you know, you can hide behind your fake name there if you want, but we're here.
I would say the interesting thing about both movies, there's not a lot of actors or actresses in this movie that I recognize. Is there anybody you recognize?
And Diviner?
Well, either one. Besides, you know, the big name people.
And what?
Oh, besides the big name people?
Like,
no.
Like Pan,
I like to give these guys a chance. I like to give people that are trying to make their chops in the acting career,
I like to give them their
chance to come out and do something and impress me. And if they do, you know, I'll pick up their name probably about the fourth time I see them do something good.
Or like, I recognize this guy.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen, next week is the old guy's pick. So what are you picking?
I had a little difficulty going, you know, I had all kinds of ideas and all kinds of directions I was going to go into. And I thought of this movie a number of times, and only because to me, it's a 1987 classic. It's called The Witches of Eastwick, and if you haven't seen it, it's Jack Nicholson at his best. And who doesn't love Jack Nicholson?
Yeah, back in the 80s and 70s.
Oh yeah, I mean, it was great. I almost did The Shining, of course, but this one is particularly interesting because the interaction between Cher and Susan Sarandon and Michelle Pfeiffer are just incredible. Those three, along with Jack Nicholson.
I completely forgot Cher was in this movie.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Now,
wow.
It's a very interesting movie, and so that's what we're going to do.
It's a classic one.
Yeah.
So I gave the movie Let the Right One In a 3-5. James gave a 4-5. Rob gave it a 2-5. Ryan gave it I'm not here. Next week is chapter 6.
What if you could have phoned it in?
Next week is chapter 6 of House of Cards, and along with Witches of Eastwick. And as always, we'll see you next week.
Goodbye. Yeah.